Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. Father, as we approach this time of the service, Lord, for the word to come forth, we ask, God, that you be with us, dear God. You'll speak to us through your word, Lord. We ask that you would have your way in this service, Lord, and speak to those whom Lord, have need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to continue on from last Sunday. I said there was something that came up here. Now it's been a couple weeks ago or a week ago or so. And so I felt to kind of refresh us bit and help some of the young ones that maybe don't have quite all this understanding, and it's good to hear it over again. Amen. Amen. I want to read from Romans chapter 9. Verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, but they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, those are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Amen. You may be seated. When you read it, if you read it with a human type of our way of thinking, it would almost seem like it wasn't fair. Like as if Esau never had a chance. He was born doomed. He was ordained to be lost. He was ordained to lose out on the birthright. He was ordained to these things. But when you realize that all that belonged to God always belonged to God. They never had a beginning. God didn't come down at some time and look you over and decide, I think I'll take this one. You were born. When you were born into this world, you were already a child of God. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, came into the world speaking lies, but something down on the inside of you was different. You would go on sometimes, but there was something that always kept bringing you back. Something you couldn't get away from, something you couldn't shake. There was something that in you that was longing. That was that seed of God that was in you. And no matter what, how many people tried to discourage you, no matter how you got discouraged by how many churches or how many preachers or how many other so-called Christians or by family or anybody else, there was still something in you that even when you said as a human, I'm just going to quit, something made you keep going. And that was that part of God that was in you. Because many times this flesh is ready to quit and give up. But that real soul, seed, gene of God down on the inside of that soul, it doesn't quit. It can't because of what it is. You can't quit because of who you are. Then it almost makes it like you don't have a choice. Then you realize why Brother Branham said you were trapped into this. But God gives everyone a choice. He wasn't willing that any be lost. He died so that all might be saved through Christ. Brother Branham said, do you believe in election? Sure, you have to if you believe in the Bible, he says. Our names are put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, says the Bible. He was elected by God. We were elected by God by his foreknowledge. He elected us. How could our names be put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world when the Lamb of God hadn't come and died yet? Because all of this took place in the mind of God before the world was ever formed. You ought to be thankful to God that you was elected. That's what I'm so thankful about, that God called me, chose me. I never chose him, he chose me. You never chose him. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first, and all the Father's given me will come to me. So you see, if God calls you, he'll knock at your door. That's the time for you to come. And we said, I believe last Sunday, that it's not at a given age when he knocks on your door. It's in the right season for you. It's in God's own timing. God calls some young, and then he calls some like he did Moses, an old man. Said, now go back and set him free. Turn me to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, means to have knowledge of beforehand. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he was making an announcement here. There are more like me on the way. There's more like me that's coming. I'm just the firstborn among them. So he was speaking about you. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. He's omniscient, if I say that word right. He knows everything. He has all knowledge. There's nothing that ever surprises God. I'll tell you, when that revelation of that hit me one time, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was reading and studying, and that revelation of that hit me, and I'll tell you what, I had myself a shouting jubilee. Nothing ever takes God by surprise. Because, you know, Satan would have you to believe when you make a mistake, you mean, oh man, now God ain't gonna want nothing to do with you. God knew it was going to happen before the foundation of the world, friends. Before the world was even made, God knew everything about you. He knew what color your hair would be. He knew what color your eyes would be. He knew who you'd be born to. He knew what you'd be like. He knew everything about you. He knew every step you would take, every move you would make. He knew everything. He knew every fault you would have. He knew every mistake you would make. He didn't choose you by works. That's what we read there when Paul was writing. It was that it might stand through election and not by works. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham says, now to restore back his kinship back. Now he had to let them get lost. You understand it? He had to let them sin, put them on free moral agency. He could not make them sin and remain God and then punish them for something he made them do. But when he put man on a partnership with him, then let man act as a free moral agent. See, the same thing he's got you on today. You act any way you want to, you're a free moral agent. Looking to the unseen, he says, now you're a free moral agent. You can make your choice. Where will you spend eternity? But God knew every choice you'd make. Why, how, other than just knowing everything, how does God know what choice you're going to make? Because you belong to him. You can't help but make that choice. Even when your flesh tries to make a different choice. See, that's what Satan throws in your face. The times when your flesh seemed to make a different choice. The times when your flesh said, man, I just can't do it. What's the use? And Satan points at those things. But it's that seed on the inside when it makes its choice. God knew what choice it would make because it was his seed. It's just like a father would know how perhaps his son would act because he's his son. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So if he's our Father, then we must be his seed. And there's not a question about whether he's our Father or not. We know he's our Father. And if then we are his seed, then he's in us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Brother Branham says in the message of the Word became flesh, he says, God's mind, the mind that in the beginning, that was a thought before it was a word that expressed Jesus Christ. The same one was expressing the word back again. And every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form. That if received into the human being and spoke by the same thought that materialized the Bible, it brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? The Bible said, let this mind which is in Christ be in you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now your thoughts, if they become expressed, like God said, let there be a world. Before it was a word, it had to be a thought. So God in the creation created the world by his thoughts first, then spoke it. So it was in God's thoughts first. It was in his mind first. He says in Making a Way, he says, God before the foundation of the world said that Christ would be there, that he slayed, died innocent for the guilty. And when God spoke it, it was already confirmed when God spoke it. Now before it can be a word, it has to be a thought. For a word is a thought expressed. And then if God in his mind perceived these things, then they were in his mind, then he spoke them, and they were as good as finished when God speaks because he's infallible. So this was in God's thoughts. You were in God's thoughts. Brother Branham says in Christ the mystery God revealed, he says, now God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. You are always a thought in God's mind. You're eternal. You're from an eternal thought. Hallelujah. Eternal beings. that have dropped down into bodies of time.
Yes. Amen.
We're eternal beings that have come down here to experience being a human. We're not humans getting ready to experience being eternal. We're eternal thoughts that have come down here to experience what being a human is like. And God said, I want to come down. And I want to experience what it's like to be human. And so he sent his son, hallelujah, so that he could be the author of our faith. So he could be there to help us when we had need. Because in his the parts of his mind was that he wanted to be a savior. And for order for him to be a savior, something had to be lost. So God knew that if he put you on free moral agency and put you in a body of flesh, he knew what that flesh would do. And that's what brought about the fall. I want you to notice something. The flesh that Adam and Eve were in couldn't die, but it could be affected by Satan. And if they disbelieve the word of God, that's the only way it could be affected. It couldn't be affected by sickness. It couldn't be affected through health. It couldn't be affected any of those ways. But when they disbelieved one word of God, then it was affected. But the flesh we're going into, that glorified flesh, he's going to be bound because he can't affect it. Why? Because redemption's already been paid. We've already been bought back. Everything Adam lost got bought back. Hallelujah. Praise God. We were in his thoughts. John 1, verse 2, we read John 1 and 1. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The thought, before it was expressed, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light, or the illumination of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now ye are a light of the world. Ye are a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Why? Because his light is in you. You are the light of the world. Jesus Christ is not walking on the face of this earth now. You are. In Colossians 1 and 15 said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The invisible God. If they were to take and put you on an operating table and dissect you, they couldn't find that seed of God because it's invisible, just like God's invisible. They, you know, some years and years and years ago, they discovered there was a chamber in a man's heart that wasn't being used for anything. It's the seed of the soul, but it's invisible. And by the time they get to doing an autopsy on the body, the soul's done gone. You are done gone, exited that body. This is just what you're living in here on this earth. This don't look a thing like me. Because this is a reflection of the fall. Yeah. That's why I've lost my hair. That's why I've grown old. That's why you've grown old. That's why you've grown gray. Because it's a reflection of the fall. But the real you on the inside doesn't reflect the fall. It's a reflection. It reflects perfection. And that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a rearranging in the molecules of those that are left here alive when the resurrection takes place. There's going to be a rearranging of the molecules. See, they've got all out of line. Brother Branham said what got cancer in cells was a cell, he said, would like backslide. And then something would go wrong with those cells. And then a life could enter there. But when the cells go right, there's going to be a life enter there.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God, the invisible God, was expressed visible through Jesus Christ. And the seed of God that's in you is expressed visible through you by your life lining up with God's word. Your life is an expression of what's in you. I've often heard people say, you know, because they want to dress a certain way or do a certain way or whatever, they say, well, God's not looking on the outside. But I'm going to tell you something. The outside is an expression of what's on the inside. Jude. We spoke of this in Jude 4, verse 4. We spoke of this last Sunday. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lavishness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They were ordained. Why? They acted out what was in them. They became an expression of what was in them. Listen, when a lot of this, it's easy to see. No wonder God had to bring a revelation of serpent seed. Because then you could see, and no wonder Satan fights that revelation of serpent seed. Because it keeps him hid. He can hide behind religion. Yes. Serpent seed can hide behind being religious. Cain was religious. But Cain was not a child of God. Cain was not one of God's eternal thoughts. Cain wasn't eternal. Cain has an end because he had a beginning. Where did Cain have a beginning at? In the mind of Satan. Now Satan thought, how can I get down there and mess with God's children? I know what I'll do. He made this beast, this serpent, to be so close to mankind that the seeds will mix. I'll go down there and get in that serpent. And therefore, then I'll have me some children. I'll have somebody to worship me. God created angels to worship him. Satan wanted the same, so he took some angels to worship him. God created man to worship him. Satan wanted man to worship him. So he had to come up with a way. So the thought of Cain had a beginning. But realize what Cain expressed. Even when God came down and spoke to Cain and said, why the long face, Cain? What's wrong? God knew what was wrong. Therefore, he said, if thou dost well, will thou not also be accepted? Cain had already seen that Abel's sacrifice was accepted. He knew that's the way God wanted, but Cain didn't want to accept that. Cain wanted to make God accept his way. I've seen people come and say they repent or whatever, but actually what they do is they come before an altar like Cain did, and they want to make God accept them the way that they are. They want to make God accept them their way, on their terms, and God don't do that. I'll serve you if you do this. I'll serve you if you do that. Doesn't work that way. I had a friend of mine some years ago, back when I was in my early 30s, and he and I were the same age, and he had got away from serving God, and then he'd come back to church, and he was going to a different church. He lived in a different location from where I did at that time, and he called me, and he was in love with this woman, and he wanted her. He wanted to marry her, but he also said he was feeling this pull toward God. So he's wondering if God would give him her, then he'd serve God. And I said, it don't work that way. When you come to God, you got to surrender. And it's like when the United States defeated Japan in the Second World War. Japan couldn't say, well, now we'll surrender if. No. General MacArthur said, nope, it's an unconditional surrender. And that's the way it is with God. Unconditional surrender. You surrender to God without any conditions, any stipulations, no strings attached. You totally surrender. Give up. Now we said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Paul says in Romans 9, what if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called. What was it that God didn't like about Esau? I'm talking about before Esau was even born. Because that's what the Bible says. It said before either boy was even born, his nature. God knew what kind of nature Esau was going to have. See, the seed line got mixed. Questions and answers, one of the questions and answers somebody asked, said, who did Cain marry? And Brother Branham goes in, and you know, of course, the Bible only in a few places states the birth of girl babies. It mostly states the birth of boy babies. It isn't because God is sexist. But there were girls born to Cain, to Adam and Eve. Cain took one of his sisters. The seed line got crossed to where there was coming out of one family, Isaac and Rebekah. One was a seed of God and the other was a serpent seed. because it's spiritual. You say, why didn't God, just knowing that Jacob before all this was going to want the birthright, why didn't God just have him be born first? Just alleviate all this. Because he had to give Esau opportunity. Like I've said before, Esau really wasn't upset about the birthright. Esau got upset about the blessing. He got upset about the blessing, and he got upset because that he had been made Jacob's servant. God knew what Jacob would do. God doesn't push or beg. He doesn't come down and beg his seed to conform to his word. We conform to his word because we are his seed. All he does is send the word across our path, and we respond to it because we are the seed of God. He sends the word across everyone's path. You say, well, maybe there might be people in this town that's never heard of William Branham. Oh, William Branham's not the one they got to hear of. He came to introduce Jesus Christ. And that expressed word, the revealed word of this hour, living in you, is an expression of Jesus Christ today. Before everybody that you work with, before everybody you come in contact with, before the woman at the bank or the fella at the bank or whoever it is anywhere, the cashier at Walmart. Don't tell me the cashiers at Walmart don't get to recognize you after a while. They do. Some of the cashiers at Walmart got to where they recognized Mina, and then they recognized Jessica and recognized Lydia, and then knew they was mother and daughters, and then began to recognize the grandkids and everything else and make comments about them. You go in, you buy a bunch of stuff for a cookout or something. The next time you go into the same cashier and ask, how'd your cookout go? We're in the South. They talk to you at the registers. Up north, they just ring you out. Hurry up and get out of here. Everybody's wanting to hurry up and get out of there. Oh, man. Revelation chapter 13. Now this is speaking of the beast, and said, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. How was Jesus Christ slain before the foundation of the world? It was in God's mind. In God's mind, God did it. Foreknowledge. Before man fell, God already made a way back. God's not reactive. He's proactive. God plans ahead. This is what Brother Branham says here in the Message of Job, preached in 1955. Did you know the plan of redemption was laid out before the world was ever formed? Think of that. God foreseen and making a way of redemption. Redemption's the oldest thing in the Bible. Making a way of redemption before he even made the world. For the Bible plainly says that Christ was predestinated, foreordained, and was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Way before the world was made, God had a plan of redemption. Where was it? In his mind. In his thoughts. Then those thoughts became words. It became expressed. John 17, John records down here the prayer that Jesus prayed. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How did God love Christ? Because he loved us the same way. You agree that's what this is saying? Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So he loved us the same way, before the foundation of the world, in his mind. You know, you read in the book of Isaiah of how that it said, to whom hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All this was wrote by Isaiah before the coming of Jesus Christ. Why? Because all of this was in the mind of God. This was all going to happen. So God had spoke to Isaiah and revealed to Isaiah these things about Christ. And if you notice these things that it's talking about, he was despised. We esteemed him not. It's all past tense. To God it already happened, because it happened in his mind. And he revealed his mind to Isaiah. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he is numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What was it? God knew that his seed was going to want to come back home. That song that I believe it might have been Brother Paul LaFontaine wrote, I've got a revelation of predestination. I got a revelation of who my Father is. I know where I came from, tells me where I'm going. He knew his seed would want to come back home, so he made a way for him to come back home. He knew your mistakes. He chose you not because you could be mistake-free, but because you were his. Mercy and grace then works in continuity with election. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He worketh all things. That's why the Bible can say all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It's already in God's mind. God knew everything that would happen to you when you came on this earth. He knew every trial you would face. He knew everything you would go through. He knew what time you would go through it. Now, us being human, God couldn't come down at the beginning and say, now, when you reach this certain age, you're going to go through this certain trial. Man, we would just get depressed right away and just say, forget it. But God knew. And so God knowing, God also knew he was going to make you ready for those tests. Even though that there's been tests you went through that you thought was going to drive you crazy, you thought you maybe was going to lose your mind, you thought you was going to lose your life, you thought you was going to just, you didn't know what was going to happen. But God had already prepared you. And he helped you through it. You're in your right mind today and existing today because God helped you through it. Second Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He was influencing our lives, but not like a puppet on a string. But what he would do is, he was giving us the word, a holy calling. Hallelujah, is what it says here in 2 Timothy, a holy calling. So the word was spoke to all. But God could predestinate because he knew who would have what reaction. By his predestination, he sends his mercy to make a way back home. Then he sends his grace to guide us back home. Hallelujah. The place which we are from, that's our destiny. Romans 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. For whosoever. That's all they got to do is call on the name of the Lord. Without conditions. Complete surrender. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Acts 13. Verses 46 and 48, Paul and Barnabas are speaking to these. There's some Jews there, and there are Gentiles there, and there's Jews that are rejecting the word of Jesus Christ. And they wax bold, the Bible said, and they begin to say it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking to the Jews. But seeing ye have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You walk in them because of what's in you. What's in you? That seed of God. Because of that, you walk in them. You didn't come to this because of some preacher. Yes, the Bible says, how can you hear except there be a preacher? But it had to be God speaking through the preacher. That was how God was displaying the word. But you didn't become a child of God because some preacher spoke you to it. Some preacher didn't plant a seed in you. Brother Branham didn't put that seed in you. You were born with that seed. You were born a child of God. As we said last Sunday, you just had to come to yourself. You, maybe some of you, I don't know where all, what all y'all had in the back of your lives. I don't know how all you lived. You know, you young ones, you all that's in your 30s and that, of course I know y'all. But all the rest of you, I don't know what all you've lived and what all you've done. You don't know what all I lived and what all I've done. But there may have been times when even though some of you were raised to and been taught and told Brother Branham's a prophet, you still had to come to that revelation. You had to come to that revelation yourself of Jesus Christ. You might have been taught as a young kid, you might have sung like a choir angel. Some of y'all are hiding talents out there. You used to sing. You still can sing. You just need to get up and do it. You ain't singing for us, you're singing for God. Anyway, I just throw that in there. But God, you may not have known who you were. You might have thought, well, this ain't for me. I guess I'm a child of this world. I guess I'm an ill-famed person. I guess I'm this or that. I'm just a worldly person. I like to drink, or I like to do this or that. Brother Branham explains that. He said you were just trying to satisfy that thirst that was inside of you. But nothing you did satisfied it. What's made you different now? You've come to yourself. You're realizing I was a child of God all along. I'm not the son of James and Pat Browning. I'm a son of God. This body is the son of James and Pat Browning. But the real me on the inside, my Father is God. Amen. Hallelujah. The real you on the inside was a creation, an eternal thought of God. Whew. Now let's close. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for the word, Lord, that you sent us and has come forth. We're asking, dear God, that you would take these things and those that may, Lord, later listen to the message, Lord, online. May, Lord, that it would speak to them, dear God, and help them. Lord, we thank you that we can glorify you in these things, dear God. We can worship you, Lord, knowing that these things are true. They are, thus saith the Lord, they are, amen. Lord, I pray, Father, you bless your people now, Lord, this day. Go with them, Lord, as they go their ways, dear God. Watch over them, keep them, give them a nice day, Lord. Be with them, Lord. Many be off from work tomorrow yet. Be with them, Lord. Watch over them at their activities and things that they do today and tomorrow. Keep them safe, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.